Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. With us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Bill Stone, the newly appointed fire chief for the city of Alamosa. Chief Stone, welcome. Welcome back to Alamosa.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be here.
That's good to see you. Hey, congratulations first on your appointment as the Alamosa fire chief, replacing Don Chapman. Lost a lot of legacy there, but you're coming in now. Take us through your career and tell us how a municipal firefighting has evolved through your career and changed as you've made your way and now here in Alamosa. Give us a little background there.
Well, like many other facets of our life, I think technology enhancements have defined firefighting over the past 30 years. There was a time where if you were to approach a structure fire, you would want to always go in from the unburnt side to the burnt side because there was thoughts that you would actually push the fire through unburnt areas if you came from the fire side.
So gotcha.
Due to scientific analysis with the NIST studies, they determined that quite often it's best to approach the fire from the actual burn point.
So interesting.
Things like that, you know, a lot of times fire departments are filled with because it happened once, so it's a fact, and that's passed down through lore. But until it was scientifically studied, all of a sudden there's a change in the way we're operating. So that's just one example of how it's changed over the past 30 years.
Interesting. You know, and here in Alamosa and here in the San Luis Valley, there are a lot of mutual aid agreements with other communities, outlying counties. Give us a sense from your perspective, and you're just getting going here in Alamosa. Give us a sense of how mutual aid agreements work and your thoughts and background in that type of environment. I'm sure that came up as part of your process of taking the job here as fire chief. But just, what's the role Alamosa plays, the Alamosa Fire Department plays when you think of that broader valley landscape?
It's kind of twofold. You know, we're all in this valley together, and some of us have a great deal of resources and others do not. So, for instance, if an outlying fire district or town needs help, ahead of time, things are agreed upon that if they call upon us, we'll respond with what we can to help mitigate their issue. And the same eventually can happen to us because we recently had the Walsh fire and we had some other units come in to help us through mutual aid. Even though they're outside of our district, they came in to assist. So those type working relationships are really important for especially those departments that are either understaffed with personnel and or equipment. So it's a benefit to everybody. It makes us all safer.
On the communication, emergency communication side, are all the volunteer fire departments, emergency, do you hear each other's calls, or how does the communication channels on the emergency side work, and how does that help you to understand what's happening, not just in Alamosa, but around the valley if you need to?
Within the Alamosa County Fire Protection District, we typically have our own channels. In some of the outlying counties that we serve, they'll have their own channels, but we know and we can get directions to those, and we know ahead of time with, like, charts and whatnot. The ability to tap into their frequencies, once we get onto that, then we're able to communicate with them at a finer level and understand their needs. But initially, it'll just be like a call, or maybe dispatch will say, hey, we've got a mutual aid in, you know, South Canales County or something. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that answers that.
As you come in, as you've come back in, as you're here in Alamosa, what's that orientation period for you as the fire chief in Alamosa, knowing the valley, what has that orientation been like, or where are you in your starting up period?
I would say I'm in my infancy. Uh-huh. There is a great deal to understand about the dynamics of municipalities, fire departments, and what their capabilities are. Building relationships, understanding and knowing what's maybe required or needed from other entities. So it's a work in progress, and it's been really busy the past month. And Don has officially retired, and now my training wheels are off. So a lot of the things that are going on, it's my first time, you know. Last night I had my first solo Alamosa County Fire Protection District meeting. And I was, you know, the only representative from Alamosa City at that. So everything now is a first, and but that's okay. And I look forward to the challenge, certainly.
What was it that interested you? Why did you want to be an applicant and then you ultimately got the job? What was it that was driving that interest for you to come into Alamosa? And I should note that you're a graduate of Adams State, so you are familiar with Alamosa. And we're going to talk a little bit more about your Adams State years on the gridiron, because I want to get talk to you a little bit about that. I always get to talk to Bill Stone when we talk football.
Okay.
But what was it that drew your interest to Alamosa coming in? And give us a little background of where you came from.
Okay. I was a firefighter in Boise City, Boise, Idaho, for 21 years. And then I accepted a position in a neighboring city called Eagle, Idaho. And I was a division chief of training at that department for 5 years. So 26 years of fire service. I retired in 2017. And at first it was pretty cool. But then I was a little bored. I was missing interaction. I was missing the stimulation from relationships and actually thinking and planning other than fishing trips or traveling about, seeing my daughters participate in their various sports. I needed purpose. I would say I bring it down to that.
Was that a learning lesson for you then as you tried to retire and then you're figuring out? It sounded like you had a little bit of an awakening maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you could interpret it as a learning lesson. I still have gas in the tank. There's still a lot I want to accomplish, and I want to accomplish it on as much as I can my terms. I wouldn't pursue just any job. It had to be the right place, the right position. And I saw other jobs come up. I'd be looking for, you know, various fire jobs, and I'd look, and I thought, no, that's just not me. Mm-hmm. And I had checked on Alamosa a few years back, and it looked like nothing was going to open up. Mm-hmm. And about 3 or 4 months ago, I was looking again, and I saw this job for Alamosa Fire Chief. And I looked at my wife, and I started kind of laughing, and she goes, what's up? And I said, I'm applying for a job. And she was working at this time as a teacher in Idaho, teacher and coach. And I think I floored her. She was just like, I can't believe you're actually going to do it. And I said, well, this is a place that's near and dear to my heart, and I want to make a difference. I want purpose. I have a lot of knowledge and experience that I want to impart on others. And that was the impetus for where I'm at today.
That's cool. That's a cool story. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're with Bill Stone, Alamosa Fire Chief. This is the Valley Pod.
RG Bank is a proud supporter of the Alamosa Citizen and the Valley Pod. If you are a fan of the Alamosa Citizen and the Valley Pod, we invite you to become a fan of RG Bank. For all your financial needs, come see us in Alamosa, Monta Vista, or Pagosa Springs. Your future begins today with RG Bank.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Alamosa Fire Chief Bill Stone. You were talking about in Idaho, you had retired or tried to retire, and you needed purpose, and you saw the opening in Alamosa. And I'm going to guess that part of that interest or part of what was tugging at you is your days here in Alamosa when you went to Adams State and you played football for the Indians at that time. Now they're the Grizzlies. Is that part of what helped come you back because you were familiar with Alamosa based on your Adams State years? You're familiar with the San Luis Valley. You're familiar with the outdoors of the valley. Is that helping you draw you back here?
Yeah, most certainly. My experience here was life-changing, so positive. In many ways, I grew up here. When you grow up, there's great things that happen, and then there's challenging things that happen, and all those make you who you are. And my time here in Alamosa was very well spent with really great people. And I think that's the common denominator in my decision to come back here. It's just really great people. And once again, when my wife and I are here, we come across neighbors or we just go to the store. And Everybody's really friendly and helpful, and it's nice to experience that again to this degree.
Tell us a little bit more about your wife, her name, and then what's that conversation? Because I had this conversation with my wife when we were living in Texas, and I'm saying I'm ready to come back to Colorado. And then we made the decision to come all the way back to Alamos, my hometown, the San Luis Valley. And it was an interesting conversation, I'm going to tell you, Bill, because I had to sell her on the idea of coming to a small town. She had been to Alamos of the Valley because she's obviously come to see my mom and dad when they were alive. But they're gone now. So I had to make that sell. How did you do that with your wife? And tell us more about her.
My wife's name is Kelly. And it wasn't really a big sell. She had been here before. She knew that it was, you know, a very beautiful area, culturally rich, but very small. And that's different from what she's used to. I was very fortunate that she was very supportive because she could see my rekindled passion and focus on something. And she was just like, yeah, let's go. I can see you're really excited about this, Bill. And I'm very thankful for that.
And she's found purpose. I mean, she's the assistant girls basketball coach at Alamo High School, yeah?
Yes, that's correct. She's the assistant. And we got here, in October. So a lot of those full-time positions or head coaching jobs were already taken. But she's fortunate enough to land an assistant position. And, she's been doing that for 35 years. She excelled greatly in college. She was a two-time All-American in Montana, signed a pro contract just as women were getting going in that field of professional sports and basketball in particular. And so she's a well-accomplished coach, athlete, and instructor. So she has a lot to offer in that regard. And she's very happy with where she's at now. But knowing her, she runs programs and runs them well.
That's cool. Well, so that we benefit as a community, not just with you, your firefighting skills, we get another strong coach, educator here in the Alamosa School District system or here back in the San Luis Valley. So I think that's pretty cool. Let me ask you, as you come in and you're in charge now, you're running the department, what are your 2-3 goals as you come into this job, as you move forward? Where are you wanting to take the department? What's been your evaluation? What are those 2-3 goals of yours now?
My goal is to set the department up for the person after me. I don't know how long that'll be. As one of the people on the interview panel said, well, how long do you want to be here? I said, as long as you keep me, as long as you want me. But to answer the question more specifically, I think succession preparation is important. So I'm trying to build a great staff, a great department. So I've already hired on 2 deputy chiefs and promoted 2 captains. And we have some other plans about how we want to grow the department, move to the department, because we are increasing in our run call volume. And with that in mind, a lot of times that's a trigger point for moving to perhaps a combination department where some people are paid full-time, and then we supplement with volunteers.
Interesting.
So there's typically a step process based on budget and call volume and a few other variables. But in answer to your question again, I want to build for the future. I want to make a template of standards for the firefighter so that they know how to get from basic firefighter up to captain. They got to take this coursework and mentor these people. And at the same time, I want good mentors, and I want a positive attitude moving these people up the chain. So those are my immediate goals.
And how have you found this station itself in terms of equipment, modernization? My takeaway, again, I've only been back a few years. My takeaway is it's a very modern fire department.
Yes, Don has done an incredible job of procuring equipment for the department. When I came in here, I was floored by what I saw in the amount of equipment, the apparatus, the capabilities of all those things. So he's done an excellent job And our job is to maintain and or build upon that. But I feel real good about the department's apparatus and equipment capabilities. Excellent.
I'm going to go a little bit back to your Adams State days and your football career. And I have to tell people listening that Bill Stone had a outstanding football career, not just at Adams State, but he went on, played professionally, long career. But what lessons did you take away in your playing days, in organization, in succession planning that you're talking about now? Any of those things, that background helping you today?
Yeah, I'd say that key word is persistence. Many times because of labels applied to one, you know, you can either take that label and let it limit you, or you can have a chip on your shoulder and work out a little harder, get a little faster, a little stronger, a little bigger, a little meaner, and apply that to your craft. And that craft was football. So persistence, you know, somebody says, nope, you can't do it. Watch me. And that attitude can take you a long way. There's an old saying about persistence that it can't take the place of this or that or the other thing. If you could recite that, great. I don't have it on me. I should probably get it tattooed on my arm because that was kind of my guiding principle.
Well, I can, now I'm drawing memories, Bill, of you in that backfield at Adams State. And what you just said described your running style, because you were quick, you had some moves, but you would go through people too if you had to. You would hit a hole and you could be gone, or you could hit a hole and you could run over someone.
Yeah, it wasn't till later, after I got to the LA Rams, that I fully understood that although it's fun to run people over, you're better off putting a move on or something if you can to get by them to get positive yards. Ever since I was a young kid, I just really enjoyed the contact and liked that feeling of physically dominating an opponent. But eventually that catches up to you in the form of, you know, injuries and whatnot. So I wish I would have learned that earlier from some of my coaches that, hey, let's try this. But anyway.
Was Jeff Geiser the football coach?
Yes, he was. Yeah.
And have you seen him since you've been back? I imagine you have.
Yes, I have a couple of times. And it's always great. You know, we'll have breakfast or check out a football game. And hope to spend more time visiting Jeff and spending time with he and his wife, Nancy.
Hey, we're
super impactful coach. And not just for me, but hundreds of guys, whoever he's coached. Many of us owe so much to him. And I'll just leave it at that.
He came through the high school ranks into Adams State. That's what I don't know that people understood, that he was a small high school football coach, and he ended up at Adams State. And to what you're saying, he took control of that program and it was very successful under Jeff Geiser.
Yes, he was at Walsenburg High School, and then he had also spent a little bit of time at Mesa. And then he came to Adams, and his first year was 1984. And if you ask any of the players from that year, it was the most difficult hell week or hell weeks that any of us had ever participated in. He wanted to send a message and set a tone. And like so many people, they want that. They don't want an easy time because they know the coach cares. So it was very rigorous. It was challenging. But that set the tone for that season, and we had an excellent season. I think we finished second, and I think we might have been in the top 20, but we didn't make it to the playoffs. But once again, I wish I had Jeff for all of my college years, not just my senior year, because the difference that was made in that one year, I could only imagine had that been multiplied by three more years.
Who else influenced you, or who else do you remember in terms of your Adams State years, coaches, men, anyone else?
Professors.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Dr. Holmes, Dr. Motes, Dr. Compton, Dr. Oba, Dr. Parks, Lena Samora. I don't want to forget.
Did you get any learning from Joe Vigil in those years, or Damon Martin, who's over there now? He was there at that time? Just coming in?
I regret that I did not move my vision outside of my focus, and I wish I would have tapped in more to engaging with Coach Vigil. As you know, he's a legend, and there may have been, I'm sure there would have been so much wisdom and knowledge that could have been imparted and helped me and so many others out. So I was so focused on football, I had the blinders on, and that was it, because I had some personal goals, and so I didn't always open up.
I remember you as a on the football field, very committed, dedicated, intense. Does that translate, or has that translated into your career in firefighting, municipal fire? How does your personality play out there?
There are times where I'm very chill and relaxed. I've always had a good sense of humor and liked a good time. But when the bell goes off, and that's just like the whistle blowing, the hairs on the back of the neck get up, and then it's very focused time, and it's deadly serious.
I can imagine that. I can imagine that the fire bell goes off, and you are on game, and you're on point. That's my recollection of what I would think of you in the fire station, on point.
I would say that that's accurate. But, you know, there's always, you got to have that balance, because if you're that way all the time, you're probably going to pass on prematurely. So you got to have that balance. So, yeah, I still have my goofy, lax time and, you know, tell jokes, imitate animal noises, whatever the case may be. But when the bell goes off, that's the time certainly to get serious, or when training for the bell time.
I want to talk, go back. I want to talk a little bit about communication and firefighting, natural emergencies. Are we in good shape in your early evaluation, thinking of Alamosa, thinking of the San Luis Valley, in terms of the communities and the community of Alamosa, knowing when, not just there's a fire, any natural disasters, natural emergencies? We've had recent power outages that caused issues. We've had big fires up in the Forbes area recently that cut power off, left you. You couldn't go to a ATM machine. You couldn't go to the grocery store and run a transaction because everything was down there for a period of 24, 48 hours. I just want to ask about communication, emergency communication commands, and your thoughts there.
Well, there are there's the county emergency plan, and then the city emergency plan, and state emergency plans. So they're morphing those, and they're working together to create a consistent, cohesive method of dealing with, you know, whether it be the Rio Grande, you know, flooding, as we saw in Monta Vista, or up in the Boulder area with, you know, a really freak windstorm, and then it was a conflagration that as many homes burnt down quickly, and there's nothing you can do to stop that. But the communications for evacuations and places to harbor people until, you know, the insurance situation gets, you know, settled, and food and accountability, all these things, it's something that needs to continue, but it's certainly the wheels are moving very strongly here in regard to that.
In regard to changes to the environment, changes to weather, changes to climate, whatever you want to call it, I call it weather chaos. What challenges does all of that present to your field, municipal firefighting? What do you see there? Any thoughts about how all that, or does it change how you look at things?
Yes. I mean, we look at those tremendous fires in Northern California, the extreme drought, and then all of a sudden, you know, the power line's down, it starts a fire that would normally be taken care of quickly, but because of these incredibly strong wind systems and the lack of humidity and the prolonged drought, you have the recipe for a disaster. And that's what those were there, and that's what you saw in Boulder. And unfortunately, different parts of the world, different parts of our country, we're experiencing that. And that does present challenges. How, you know, we're expected to take care of all the emergencies, right? Well, when you've got wind-driven fires and the wind is 60 to 80 to 90, 100 miles an hour, even if it's, you know, fireproof, you know, building construction, things are still going to burn. And so educating the public on defensible space, cutting down fuel sources so that we can maybe get a leg up on a fire, those are really important things moving forward.
That's interesting. I want to leave with this question, and we've really enjoyed the conversation, but I want to ask you because you're back in the valley. What is it that you do when you're not in the fire station work? How are you relaxed? What is it about the valley that you're looking forward to there?
Sand dunes, Terrace Reservoir area. Spent a lot of time there in college. Two weeks ago, we went down to Taos, just exploring the iconic areas and other areas that maybe people haven't really heard of or experienced, but they're just as beautiful. So exploring, meeting people, my gosh, I've met more people in the past month than I probably have in the past 15 years. And I'm actually retaining a lot of the names, I'm happy to say.
Hey, it's been great to talk to you. It's great to have you back in Alamosa in the San Luis Valley as the fire chief. You've been listening to The Valley Pod in our episode with Alamosa Fire Chief Bill Stone. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. We'll see you around the valley.